You're listening to the Bottom Line podcast, where those living with or beyond bowel cancer, as well as health professionals involved in bowel cancer treatment and care, share their inspirational stories and lived experiences with host and bowel cancer survivor, Stephanie.
I've still got the warm and fuzzy feeling from this year's Call on Canberra advocacy event, where we took 50 early onset bowel cancer advocates from around Australia, again joining together at Parliament House and sharing their collective authentic voice with politicians to make real and impactful change around early onset bowel cancer. Today, I'm chatting with two fabulous Bowel Cancer Australia advocates to discuss their experience of Call on Canberra 2026, the importance of this event to both of them and those that they represent. Nat joins me from the sunny Sunshine Coast and Andrew from Sydney. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
It was another jam-packed 2 days, wasn't it? Connecting with bowel cancer advocates and meeting with policymakers. Have you both recovered?
Yes.
Andrew?
It did take a couple of days.
Yeah, it does. It does. It's two very full days, and with the overlay of treatment and also the impact after bowel cancer, it can be two very full-on days. Nat, starting with you, this is your third call on Canberra and you are a patient that's currently undergoing treatment. So it was a really big ask for you to attend. Why is it so important to you?
Yeah, I've become really passionate about raising awareness now. I don't want the same thing that happened to me to happen to others. So if it means that someone can be diagnosed earlier or some changes can be made in our healthcare system, every call on Canberra is going to be worth it for me.
And we have made some real impactful change, just seeing obviously the screening age drop from 50 to 45 was wonderful. And we'll go into a little bit more depth around the feeling of Call on Canberra. But for you, Andrew, how was Call on Canberra for you?
It was really good. This was my second year this year. Last year I was very nervous because I don't really like going out these days too much, too far from my house.
I can remember last year, Andrew, when you were really nervous. And it is quite intimidating, isn't it, to be around people that you don't really know, although we've become quite a tribe and we'll talk about that later. But also just going into Parliament House itself, it is such a massive structure and, you know, you're talking to policymakers. It can be intimidating, can't it?
Yeah, it definitely can be. But this year I just felt like the politicians were listening even more than last year. So not sure why, not sure if they're just jumping on board with all the awareness that we're all trying to do really, but I definitely felt like this year the feeling was different from the politicians.
Yeah, I agree. I think also they're now used to us in our bright red T-shirts and walking the corridors of Parliament House, and we make a big statement with 50 patients in their red T-shirts. Nat, did you have the same feeling?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like we've built our relationship with the politicians now, particularly because it was my third year, and they're really listening. They really wanted to jump on board. They're also really noticing, you know, that it's not just a statistic now. Things have really got to change.
I mean, it's all very well for politicians and policymakers to say that they're going to make change, but we really want to see change. I think one of the things that I've really noticed over probably the last 4 years of Call on Canberra is the awareness of early onset bowel cancer in the community has really taken hold. We are now being taken more seriously, I think, whereas before I don't think early onset bowel cancer was being heard. Would you agree with that, say, Andrew?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I guess it's been about 3 years for my journey, I definitely feel like things have changed for the better with awareness and just, like you said, people taking us more serious. Because I feel like we were getting brushed off.
Yeah, I've definitely, in the 3.5 years of the journey, have seen a huge difference. And, I always relate it to, once you see that car you want to buy, you keep seeing it. But everyone around me now is saying the same thing, saying it's really out there now and people are really listening.
There was stigma associated, and there still is, I think, but I do feel that approaching it from a number of angles, we are starting to make some real headway. I want to touch on your stories because I think, that's part of Call on Canberra. A really important part is that sharing your lived experience. I'm going to go to you first, Andrew. Talk us through your diagnosis and your a snapshot of your journey.
Well, it's hard to get my story because it is such a large story into such a shortened version, but I will try my best. So at 36 years old, I had a little bit of blood in my stool and ignored it because it would happen once a month or once every 2 months, and it was only a little bit, and then the next time it was gone. So I guess the typical male tradesmen in me were like, yeah, it'll be fine. I left it. And then one day there was a lot of blood when I went to the bathroom. So my wife hassled me to go to the doctor, eventually went to the doctor, and he said, oh, you've probably got hemorrhoids. We'll treat you for that. And you're too young to have anything serious wrong with you. So see how you go. I wasn't overly happy with that answer. So I went and saw another GP. And I said, I think I need a colonoscopy because I've got bleeding. This one said, look, I think you've got hemorrhoids, but we'll do one anyway. So I went and did my colonoscopy, woke up from that, still thought I just had hemorrhoids. Like it wasn't even a question, could it be anything else? And yeah, when I woke up, he put me in a room, waited for my wife to get there, and just said straight out, he goes, we found something, you've got cancer. So they hit me with radiation along with chemo.
Because yours was rectal cancer, wasn't it, Andrew?
Yeah, mine was pretty close to the bottom. I got a temporary ileostomy bag.
Which is always a joy, isn't it?
At the time, I hated it, but after a few weeks, I got used to it and it wasn't too bad.
No, I agree. You do get used to it, absolutely.
So I had that for about 6 months while I continued with more chemo. And then I had reversal surgery and pretty much say, oh, look, we've done everything we can do. You've got no evidence of disease. So we'll see you later.
On your merry way. And I want to come back in a minute because I want to talk about the impacts. Because people think just after you've been given the all clear, life goes back to normal, which in your instance, it didn't. But before you do, I want to chat to Nat about her story because she's still undergoing treatment.
Yeah, so I was diagnosed in February of 2023 at age 43. After about 2 years of continual bowel issues, to-ing and fro-ing from the GP, they just kept putting it down to irritable bowel and, things like that, until I ended up in emergency with a complete bowel obstruction. And about 20 minutes after my CT scan, the GP came in, sat next to me, held my hand, which I thought was really lovely, and said, yeah, you've got bowel cancer and it's already spread to your liver. And it felt like a bomb went off. I was sitting there on my own as well as a single mum. I'd left the kids at home and taken off in the ambulance. I was then rushed to emergency surgery, stoma put in place, and 3 weeks later, under the chemotherapy world. It's since spread to my lungs. I've had liver resections, multiple bowel surgeries. I've had cryoablation and undergoing radiation at the moment. And I'll be on ongoing treatment for the remainder of my life now.
And both of you, way too young to be experiencing this. And you both have children, obviously varying ages, but it really does have an impact on you. Nat, for you, what do you feel were the barriers to your diagnosis? What would you like to see differently? Obviously, to get it much earlier.
Yeah, that's right. So age was definitely a thing. So I was always told, oh, you're young, you're fit, It's just the biggest thing that you hear over and over again.
Like a cracked record, isn't it? How many times have we all heard this?
Exactly. And it's I do feel like that is shifting a little bit though, but even just in that small window of 3.5 years. And I just wish for, by the time my kids are my age, that their symptoms, they can just walk in, have a symptom straight away, not have to, sorry, have their symptoms listened to straight away and sent off for appropriate treatments and investigation.
And not being dismissed because of age, treating the symptom in front of you, not the age of the person in front of you.
That's right, yeah.
And Andrew, your NED, which is amazing and fantastic. However, you have had a massive impact on your lifestyle, haven't you?
Yeah, 100%. I'll go into it a little bit. I know it's kind of a bit gross to talk
No,
about.
it's important. I think it's really important, Andrew, to talk about these things and demystify because it's a reality, isn't it?
Well, I'm used to talking about it. I don't know if everyone's used to hearing about it, but they don't have much choice. So after I pretty much saw my surgeon when he told me that I am NED, he pretty much just sent me on my way. So I assumed life will go back to normal how it was before, but I was definitely wrong. I pretty much straight away when I got home from my reversal surgery, basically couldn't leave the bathroom all day, all night, every 10 minutes, every 5 minutes. I was literally stuck at home for 3 months. It was probably the toughest part of the whole journey. Was literally having to go to the bathroom 50 times a day with little to no warning and just being stuck at home wondering, is this it now? Is this what I'm going to have to deal with? Am I going to be able to go back to work again and support my family?
And did they discuss with you that this could happen? Or someone else described it to me recently. And I think this does happen. Often you are just kicked out of the nest by the oncologist and the surgeon because they've done their piece of the puzzle. Their piece of the puzzle for you was to cure you, which they've done. But they kick you out of the nest and you've got to learn to fly. And you haven't got the resources around you. Were you given any support?
I was told this could happen. It happens in some patients, but they just manage it with gastro stops. So that's what I was pretty much told, and that's all I was told. So there was one night it was particularly bad, and I ha hadn't been sleeping. I was really, really down in the dumps. And I sat on the edge of the bed, woke my wife up, and said, I want to put the bag back in because I can't live like this anymore.
Because for context for our listeners, you're a tradie, so you're out on sites. That's what you do. You don't have access to a toilet that quickly, do you?
Yeah, correct. I probably should have mentioned that. I am a tradie. I'm an electrician out and about all day, every day. And yeah, access to a toilet is not something that is just 5 meters away. It's a long way away. So not knowing if I could ever work again was really scary for me because I was the main income earner for my family. And that's my role is to support my family. So after I settled down a bit, the next morning, because I was so desperate, I was like, we need to get help because I can't do this anymore. That's when I reached out to you guys at Bowel Cancer Australia. And I probably sounded like I was very close to a mental breakdown because I probably was.
Well, that it wasn't just the physical attributes, it was the mental component as well, plus the financial. There were a number of issues here where you couldn't return back to a degree of normality.
Yeah, and I didn't see an ending to it. So that was 3 months of not leaving my house, not being able to go anywhere. Bowel Cancer Australia, they got me to where I am right now, which is back at work.
Fantastic, which is, I know you spoke to a nutritionist and to our nurses and to our support services. Now, for you, obviously you're on treatment. What support services, and it doesn't have to be Bowel Cancer Australia, but what areas of support have you accessed and has been, hugely advantageous to you?
Yeah, well, I've definitely accessed BCA and Beautiful Hannah and Fee and Joe, the dietitian, as well. So I've definitely accessed it all. I love my exercise physiologists up here. That's what keeps me going, I think. It gives me the strength physically and mentally. Yeah, it's a must. It's an absolute must. You have moments where you think you're fine, and then all of a sudden it's very dark, and it's great to have people to call on.
So the tribe, and this is part of Call on Canberra, isn't it? The importance of finding your tribe and people who are like-minded through Bowel Cancer Australia and bowel cancer patients. How has that helped you? Nat, I'll go to you first.
Yeah, it's very special actually. It's also very hard as well because we lose people around us as well. But our voice together, I feel, is incredibly powerful. And that's where the change is really being seen now as well. So I've made some beautiful friendships and lifelong friendships, and it's incredibly special.
And that's the beauty of Call on Canberra too, isn't it? Where,
Yeah.
you forge those friendships on a bond. It's a group you don't necessarily want to be a part of, but you are. So it's one of the silver linings of something that's quite negative.
Yeah, and to have people that just get it. Like you said, it's a silver lining.
And for you, Andrew, that tribe that you found, how important is that for you?
Much the same as Nat, really. It's nice to be around people that really, really understand because we all have our families, partners, friends, but unless you're there or you've been there, it's really hard to explain to other people what it's like. And it's actually nice if you're like, oh no, I'm having a bit of a bad day today. My stomach's sore. And then someone else will just say, hey, what medicine do you need? I've got gastro stops. I've got Imodium. I've got ginger tablets. Everyone's just so friendly and understanding. And it is really, really nice to be around all the people that understand you.
Actually, a call on Canberra this year, someone was feeling very nauseous and they said, oh gosh, I need a ginger tablet. Someone goes, I've got ginger tablets, and out they came. And I was just thinking, gosh, it's the beauty of that group, isn't it? From both a practical but also a mental perspective. And it's a really inspiring group. And that's another wonderful part of Call on Canberra. You both have children, they're obviously different ages. Now, yours are a bit older. How does your diagnosis and the way you're navigating your treatment, how does that impact you and your children?
Well, initially, so they're 14 and 17 now. My daughter is the youngest. So she was 11 when I was diagnosed, and my son was 14. She took it incredibly hard. My son kind of just went with the punches. He sort of, his words to me was, I'll be okay if you're okay. Whereas my daughter really shut down. And I think because she was so young, well, old enough to understand, but young enough to find it really hard to process. And because I had 18 months of surgeries, I had to have family move in to look after me. So her entire world was turned upside down as well. And it's still, I'm at a point now, though, looking back and where the kids now are being that much older and how much easier it is now. They're that much more independent. So I can lead a relatively normal life. Touch wood, no more surgeries on the cards. That's a different story. But we navigate it pretty well together because it's just the three of us.
I mean, being a single mum, period, is hard. But with
Yes.
the overlay of, bowel
Yeah.
cancer.
I think it's made the kids really resilient and also very respectful of their mother, which is nice. Because they can see what I'm going through, so they love to help out, and yeah, we're just a really good team.
So that's the silver lining, too.
It is,
It's
yeah.
nice to see a positive side out of something that's so negative.
Always, yeah.
Yeah. And Andrew, your children are much younger. You've got two beautiful girls. How does that impact, or how has that impacted your life?
It has impacted my life a lot, especially now since all my surgeries and just having erratic bowel movements whenever it feels like it makes it really hard because I want to go out with the kids and take them places and be a fun dad. But then I never know when I'm going to have a bad day and I'm going to go to the bathroom 20, 30 times that day. So I really feel bad sometimes because I can't do the things I used to do. But when I got diagnosed, my kids were 4 and 2. So they were still really young and they didn't really understand. My oldest daughter, Mia, now understands a little bit because she's a little bit older. She's nearly 8. And she always asks me about it, what it was like, and why did I get it? And I don't understand, why did you get it? And I just had to explain to them. Some people just get it. There's not much you can do about it. And thanks to my friend Robbie from Call on Canberra, he gave us a 3D printed bow. I got to show them the bow, and I was like, well, this is where the problem was, and this is what they've done to fix it. And then she kind of looked at me and just said, that's sad. But yeah, it's definitely been tricky, but we just roll with the punches and do what we can do.
It's the things that you take for granted. And it really, bowel cancer really can impact your life in so many ways because, it's so related to food and going to the loo and having access to things. It can really change the way you live your life.
Yeah, definitely. I
Yeah.
love my food and I can't eat a lot of it anymore.
No, absolutely. Regarding Call on Canberra, obviously Bowel Cancer Australia has, their key priorities, but from your own personal point of view, what things do you want policymakers and politicians to really listen to? And I'll go to you first, Nat.
I would really definitely keeping on the lowering the screening age, absolutely. And shortening colonoscopy wait times is a huge thing because, public systems can be up to 12 months. So they're the two major key factors for me, but also, raising much needed funds for research to, create pathways for cures and, that sort of thing as well.
Absolutely. And for you, Andrew?
Funding for research. Like I said, I've got 2 young daughters, and if no one knows why younger people are getting bowel cancer, it's going to be really hard for them. Every person I talk to seems to know someone that is really young that's getting bowel cancer. And I really feel like we need to find out why. And I think research is a big key in that. And also just greater awareness in general. For doctors, for just everyone, really, just to know the symptoms.
Yeah, absolutely. That research piece is really important, as you said, because we know that early onset bowel cancer in Australia, we have the highest rates, and we do need to understand the why, but also the symptom piece. It's so important because no one should go through what either of you have gone through.
I almost feel like we need to start educating in the school system, like really early on, somehow. That's another, funding piece as well.
Absolutely. Is there anything else that you want to add today to the podcast?
Don't be afraid to talk about it, because what harm is it going to do? The more I talk about it, the more people might know what some of these symptoms are, like the blood in your stool, or the bloating, or the unexplained weight loss, or the extreme tiredness.
What parent is not tired?
Exactly. I was working shift work and I was really tired all the time. And it was just put down to you're working shift work. Of course, you're going to be tired. So, yeah, just everyone listen to your bodies. Don't be scared to go to the doctor and have that stupid, awkward conversation and say something doesn't feel right. And yeah, get checked.
And if you're not happy, as we often say, empower yourself and advocate for yourself because you're the biggest champion for your own health, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely.
It'll be nice if we can get to a stage where we don't have to fight for our symptoms and, we can just be heard and treated seriously sooner.
No, I agree, absolutely. And anything else from you, Nat?
Of course, a bit very big thank you because Call on Canberra is a huge event and, it's emotional for all of us and including you guys that run it. And, so we're all very grateful because a massive group like that is incredibly powerful. So, yeah, big thank you.
Thank you. Well, thank you to both of you and to all of our other 48 advocates that joined us at Call on Canberra this year. We got a lot of shout outs in Parliament, which was wonderful. You are both such inspiring advocates for bowel cancer awareness. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Bottom Line podcast and also for coming to Call on Canberra.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bottom Line podcast. To find out more about bowel cancer or for support or simply to donate, please go to bowelcanceraustralia.org.